Proverbs 15. And one verse, and I'm going to plead simplicity tonight, no doubt. It's a very simple message, but a very important message. Something I'm sure that you've heard, but something that we certainly need, as is always the case in the Bible. We always need it. Amen? So Proverbs chapter 15, and we'll read one verse as they're giving the sheets out tonight. Notice verse 1, the Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." That's simple, isn't it? All right, let's just do it and go home. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's read it together when I say begin. Ready? Begin. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Powerful truth, but do we practice it? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. And Lord, as I preach what I would say, no doubt, a simple message here tonight on this simple truth, I pray you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lord, I pray your word would go forth tonight with power and clarity. And you'd bring to mind, Lord, this area of our lives that certainly, at least at times, we all need help. We all need work. And so I pray you'd pierce our hearts with your truth by thy Spirit. And we ask your blessing and help. Please remove distractions from this room and from our minds this evening. Well, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was on Sunday, January 31st, 2021, that 2 feet of snow blanketed Plains Township, Pennsylvania. Now, that's an area about 15 miles southwest of Scranton. The following Monday morning, February 1st, very early in the morning, the neighbors on West Berg Street began to do what everyone does after a major snowstorm, shovel themselves out to get ready for the day. On one side of the street, there was a couple, 50-year-old James Goy and his 48-year-old wife, Lisa. They were shoveling their driveway. Well, the couple had a long-running feud with their neighbor across the street. Directly across from them, his name was Jeffrey Spade. He was a single man, 47 years old. He was an engineer. He was a United States Navy veteran. According to witnesses, this is what was said. Quote, "The Goys were shoveling the snow from their parking spots and taking it across the road and throwing it on Spade's property." Spade had come out, and he saw what was happening. Of course, a long-time feud going on, and he asked the couple to stop, which sparked a heated exchange of words. Back and forth they went. It escalated, cursing back and forth at one another and so forth. One witness said this, quote, "The Goys proceeded to yell at him, and using expletives, the parties called each other names, nasty names, ugly names, saying the meanest things you could think. James Goy then threatened Spade, made obscene gestures at him, and then he threw a tool at him that he had been using to clear snow from his car. Goy then approached Spade with a raised fist, causing Spade to retreat into his house." But unfortunately, it didn't end there. Spade quickly returned outside with a gun. Despite seeing the gun, James and Lisa Goy continued shouting names at him from the middle of the street. With Lisa, the wife, seeing the gun and seeing him waving it, yelling at him, saying, "Go ahead, go ahead." That's what she said. Spade then proceeded to shoot and kill both James Goy and his wife, Lisa, as he yelled at her laying on the ground, saying, "You should have kept your mouth shut." He then went into the house and shortly after turned the gun on himself as he saw the police arriving on the scene. Sad story. The news article was entitled this, "Three Pennsylvania neighbors dead after fight over snow shoveling." That is such a sad, tragic, senseless story, right, that could have been avoided. Amen. If someone would have chosen to apply what we're seeing in our verse tonight. Right. Notice what we read here. Very important verse.
Amen.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
Right.
You know, it's amazing to me and to all of you, I'm sure, how the smallest of things can become the biggest of arguments.
Right.
I mean, something senseless, something small, something minute that really doesn't matter. Can become the biggest things. And it happens all the time. It happens between husbands and wives. Many divorces are for that reason. Some of the dumbest things that happen. That escalated. It happens between brothers and sisters. It happens between friends and church members and co-workers. It even happens with people we don't know. The smallest things become the biggest problems. And it's all because of the flesh.
Right.
It's always all because of our Adamic nature.
Amen.
That yields to that irritation.
Amen.
That replies in kind, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Right.
It insists upon being right. We have to have the last word and say all that we can, because after all, we're right. And we have a good reason to be angry. But you know, if you and I will learn to not only understand this principle that we're looking at tonight, but also apply it and yield to God in this area, and it can be difficult to do at times, but we can do it. I'll get to that in a little bit.
Amen.
It will put out a whole lot of fires in our lives.
Right.
And may produce some things that we want in our lives.
Amen.
Family peace, marital harmony, strong relationships with friends and co-workers, and church unity when it's practiced in those areas. I like what one commentator wrote. He said this, quote, "Harsh words are the oil to stir up the fire, but a gentle answer is the water to quench it." And so tonight I want to preach on this subject, very brief tonight. We'll see. Notice the wisdom of a soft answer. That's God's wisdom, by the way.
Amen.
Not the world's wisdom. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. So let's look at just a few things so we can understand this verse and how it's applied in our lives. Number one, would you write this down? The situation. You know, most of our lives have to do with interacting with people. Did you notice that?
Right.
That's what life's about. It is about interacting with people. I mean, people we work with, people we go to church with, all of that. By the way, that's the way God intended it to be.
Amen.
He did. As Christians, we are to reach the lost. That means we're interacting with people.
Amen.
We are to take those that are saved and disciple them, work with them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Amen.
That means interacting with people. We are to exhort fellow Christians, fellow church members. That means interacting with people. We're commanded to do that, exhorting one another.
Amen.
We're commanded to minister to people and interact. We interact every day with people at the store, at our neighbors, and so forth. Again, this is by God's design.
Amen.
By the way, it's not God's will that we go live in some remote area and get off the grid to the point that we avoid all people and become hermits so we can just wait till Jesus comes.
Right.
Now, that sounds appealing at times. In fact, it's pretty tempting at times. And all of us have run through our mind, you know, it'd be nice just to go somewhere and just be away from it all and off the grid and none of this stuff. But that is not how God has designed this thing.
Amen.
We are to interact with people. Luke 19:13, Jesus said to his disciples, "Occupy till I come." That occupy doesn't mean go hide somewhere. In its context, it means to be busy reaching the lost and doing God's work in this world. Even the Lord Jesus said in his intercessory prayer in John chapter 17, he said about his disciples, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world."
Right.
In other words, they need to stay here because there's a job to do. And we understand we are to be in the world, interacting with one another, interacting with people, but not of the world.
Right. Amen.
Then add to that our families. God ordained the family. We just had Thanksgiving, and for some, that's a wonderful time. For others, that's a trying time. Because you got to see those folks that are difficult to deal with that you only see perhaps twice a year. And you got to interact with them. That's the right thing to do. But understand, God has ordained a family.
Amen.
And we're not to live as separate individuals. We are to live as a unit. Husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, brothers and sisters. Again, all of us interacting with one another on a daily basis. And so understand, when you interact, when I interact with people, there will inevitably be conflict. And should I say always be? Eventually, there's going to be conflict and trials and so forth. Luke 17:1, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. That's part of the journey. We're working with people. We're ministering to people. We're living in families. We're going to school. We're doing all those things. There it is. And guess what? There's going to be issues, conflicts, and so forth. Problems, disagreements, misunderstandings. It's going to happen. And we're going to have to deal with them. And for the believer, we are to deal with them biblically.
Amen.
We're to deal with them in a Christ-like way. Now, here in our text, I believe that there's a word picture kind of given here. At least I get a little picture in my mind here. Notice it says at the beginning of the verse, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So the picture is of somebody kind of wrongly coming at you. Wrath, it's coming at you. Someone is coming after you. They're angry. They're mad about something. They're upset. They're fuming. They're outraged. They're lashing out, confronting you in anger, being sharp with you. How many ever had that happen to you, something like that? It happens to all of us. If not, it's going to. And if you didn't raise your hand, I think you're lying. But anyway, that's another sermon. But that happens. People wrongly respond to things, and they come after you. And again, when we're on the receiving end, we got to deal with that.
Right.
How are we going to respond to that? Sometimes it's almost out of the blue. You know, we're having a nice little day and things are going, and boom, all of a sudden, somebody comes after you. They're upset. They're angry at something. And it kind of makes your head spin. Now, why do these conflicts happen? Well, there's a couple reasons here. Notice two reasons why we experience this type of conflict. One is this, because of transgressions. Maybe, here's an idea, maybe you did something wrong and hurt somebody. You ever done that? Of course you have.
Amen.
We all have.
Right.
We do wrong. We've just done that. Maybe you offended them. Maybe you said something, you know, I'm sure you have said something. You said, that wasn't the smartest thing to say. No, I said that. And you did, though, and it hurt them, or you did something to offend them. You sinned against them in some way. In other words, you were the one in the wrong, and so now their response, you wronged them, they come after you in anger. They're upset. They're raging. Been there? You took that parking space that somebody was waiting for. You know, they're over here, you're over here, and here's somebody backing up, and they go this way to kind of block them, and you zip in there, and you take it, and you go in. And you say, I'm going to go in there real quick. And they're upset because you did the wrong thing. Maybe you cut in line in the grocery store at Walmart. You know, one of the most uncomfortable times for me is when you're in this line of about 10 people and you're like number 8. And here comes somebody, "Oh, we're opening up a new register." And they say, "I'll take the next person in line," and nobody moves. Now we know who it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the next person in line. And they don't go. So what do we all feel like doing? Maybe we have. Well, you know what? If they're not going, guess what? I'm gone. You snooze, you lose. Right? Maybe you think that way. And somebody said, "That's what I'm saying." Amen. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And somebody gets mad at you, though. I mean, they get angry. Who do you think you are? And they start maybe lashing out or saying things under their breath. And here you are in that situation. They're mad and they confront you with anger. What do you do? I think of one Bible story that when I think of someone infuriating another, my first thought goes to Jacob and Esau. Jacob, that brother, good guy. Not. He stole the birthright and the blessing. We know the story in Genesis chapter 27. Esau was hot. He was angry, so much so that he was filled with wrath. He wanted to kill his brother. Genesis 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." So he's angry. My point is that sometimes we can do something that's wrong, and we wrong somebody, and they get upset with us, rightly so, maybe in that case, but not to that level. But they come in anger, and we got to deal with that. That could happen. But sometimes this happens as another reason why we experience this conflict. It could be because of perception. So one could be because of a transgression or transgressions. The other could be because of perception. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure this has happened to all of us, sometimes people will come at you in anger because of something they think you did.
Right.
And you didn't do it. But they think you did it. Or maybe someone told them you did something and they believe that person instead of going to you. And when in reality, what they perceived was not reality at all. But they're upset with you. I find sometimes it's even hard to change that person's mind. And they have no evidence of that, but they've done it. For example, I remember years ago, who I'm talking about in these next couple illustrations is not anybody here, okay? Not been here for a long time. But I remember years ago when we first started giving out the Student of the Quarter Award in school. And I remember we wanted to, you know, character and that sort of thing. We thought it'd be a nice thing. It's nice to award somebody, a student. It's just a quarter. I mean, for that quarter, be another student the next quarter. No big deal. And I remember one particular parent, I think it was probably one of the first times, if not the first time, we gave the award out. After the whole ceremony, awards presentation went, they got mad. I mean, they were visibly and verbally mad and said something to me. Because they thought that their child should have gotten it, and that child did not, and it's like the child didn't even deserve it. But point is, they got angry, and they had the idea we're playing favorites. It's like, we're not playing favorites. Yeah, that's what we do. We sit around and figure out who can we get upset today. No, we don't do that. But that kind of stuff happened. I remember years ago, I was preaching through the book of James. Go over to James chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll show you the text it was. I'll never forget it. My wife won't forget this one either. When she reads the text, she'll know it, because she was standing next to me when this happened. James chapter 2 and verse 1, I was going through the book of James. I got to chapter 2 and verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and in goodly apparel, and there cometh in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? And I preached about, about not being a respecter of persons. In fact, I think that was the title of the message. Don't be a respecter of persons. And to me, the message was pretty simple and so forth. And I remember we did the whole thing. We prayed. My wife and I went outside. And, you know, in between the time that we are out there and the prayer is, the song is finished. And I think this might have been before that. There was a little bit of quietness out there. And we're kind of sitting out there. And boy, as soon as it dismissed, I mean, that door just kind of banged open, and that there was a person that came storming out of the service, got right in my face, in my wife's face, and was telling me how you're talking about you today. You are the respecter of persons. Well, praise the Lord. I was hoping to hear, that sermon was a blessing, preacher. But I could tell when that person came out the door, something was up, because something was going on. My point is, I had no idea. I think, what is this person talking about? But they were mad. And guess what? I had to deal with that. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't, but I had to. And it's the same with you. Sometimes someone comes at you because you did something wrong. But still, they're coming at you in a bad way, in an angry way. Sometimes it's because they just think you did something wrong. But either way, again, you have to deal with it. Have you ever been driving and someone gets angry at you and you have no idea why? That's happened to me. No, I said, well, I know you're driving, so I know why. But anyway, that's what she's going to say. But you ever have somebody, all of a sudden, you're just driving along, they pass you, all of a sudden, they go, when they're driving next to you, you're just like, what did I do? I didn't wait long at the light. I wasn't playing on a cell phone. I don't think I was driving too slow. I don't think I was driving too fast. I didn't pull out in front of anybody. What did I do? I have no idea. Now I got to deal with that. What am I going to do? Right? That's what this is talking about here. By the way, those people that work in the customer service department, that especially at Walmart with returns and customer service, God bless them. God bless them, because I've sat there and listened to some of those things. And there are some rough people out there that just want to unload on these folks. And they, most of the time, it's nothing they did. Maybe they're mad at a product, something didn't work, or was something else was in the box, and so forth. And boy, they're coming after. They have to deal with this probably on a daily basis. Right. And so, again, my point is this. We will have situations, whether right or wrong, where people come at you in anger. They are ready to rumble. They're ready to roll. They're ready to have at it, hopefully only verbally, though. And again, you have to deal with it. That's the situation. He's saying a soft answer. It's turning away. Here comes wrath after you. Right. And you have to somehow deal with this thing. Right. I want to turn this thing away. I don't want to invite more. Right. I want to get rid of it.
Amen.
So what do I do? Well, number two, the decision. I told you it was simple tonight. It really is. What do we got? Notice a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Again, at that moment, and by the way, many times it catches you off guard. Because, you know, you're having a nice day. Happy in the Lord. And here comes somebody. And I got to deal with it. Now I have to make a decision. Am I going, notice the two choices here, a soft answer or grievous words? There it is. There's the two choices. I am either going to respond by a soft answer.
Right. Amen.
Or by grievous words. Let's talk about those. Right. Let's look at those two ways. Letter A, write this down. Let's talk about the world's way of responding.
Right.
Again, this is wisdom from above. Now, we're talking about God's wisdom.
Amen.
How can we deal with this biblically, Christ-like way?
Right.
Not to inflate my ego, not to appease my flesh. Well, the world's way, the carnal way, really, of responding to this is the second one, with grievous words.
Right.
That's the way the world does it. You know, the Hebrew word for grievous, it's very interesting. It literally means an earthly vessel. And it has the idea, the way the earthly vessels deal with it. In other words, the way the world responds to that, with words that are rough, words that are mean, that's grievous words. When someone comes after you or at you, what the natural defense is I'm unloading right back, brother. Here it comes. And you're hurtful, you're sharp, aggressive, painful words, hard to be borne. Sometimes even the world, you've heard them before. I mean, cursing and name calling and fault finding. It's quite embarrassing listening to it sometimes.
Right.
You just want to shudder. But the truth is, the tendency of us all, it's in there, the Adamic nature,
right,
is to respond that way. See, the world says this, all right, you want to treat me that way? I got my arsenal loaded up here. I'm ready to fire, and I'm going to unload on you. And that's what they do. You unload on me, I unload on you. You hurt me, I'm hurting you. That's the world.
Right.
That's how the world does it. And what we do, we watch what happens. According to God, we end up feeding the fire,
right,
instead of quenching the fire.
Right.
We're not making matters better. We're making matters worse.
Right.
Well, you say, preacher, but it feels good. Maybe for a second.
Right.
But that's about it.
Right.
You know, I came across an article while preparing for this message. It was dated November 15th, 2021. It was entitled this. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was worth bringing up. Because I've come into contact with families, not in our church, but perhaps in our area, that would definitely fall into this category. Listen to the title of the article. Yelling as communication. Common in many families. Now, we didn't grow up that way. Even though I was lost, we were in what I would call a moral home. My dad still, you know, we got spanked when he did wrong, and we weren't using bad language, and we weren't disrespecting people, and we were respecting authority, and we got good grades in school, and we were not to drink and do drugs, and we were not to do that. That's the kind, and we weren't the type that yelled either. We were lost. Gonna go to hell when we died anyway, despite the fact that we were moral, because a lot of moral people end up in hell because they don't get saved. But my point is this, there are families, though, that operate this way. The way they communicate is yelling all the time. I mean, it's just screaming at one another back and forth. The author wrote this in the article. She says, yelling has a very specific person in the very nature of human beings. To safeguard our survival, listen closely. Let's look at a simple example, she says. We're in the middle of the jungle, walking, enjoying nature in the woods. Suddenly a scream is heard. Imagine, bah! Right? That scare some of you? Probably did. I was trying to, but maybe I didn't. She says it's an animal that emits a high-pitched scream. That cry doesn't just serve as an alarm warning us, but watch this, causes us to react. What's the feeling and reaction you get? Fear. Tense.
Right.
Ready to do something. Run or do something. That's what she's saying here. And it causes the brain to activate, and this is, by the way, they say scientifically, they can prove this, to activate our nervous system with the need to respond defensively. That's what happens. Goes on to say, you know how it is, you've been there, the adrenaline goes, you know, it just pumps, the pulse and is escalated, the heart starts pounding, because, man, something frightened you or scared you or surprised you. Article went on to say this, when faced with an aggressive communication style, it is common to generate defensive responses with the same emotional charge, with the same offensive component. Did you get that? It's simple. In other words, yeah, they come at us, we're coming at them. That's the natural thing to do. Now, understand, that's not some psychobabble I'm trying to give you. That's actually a Bible truth. Because that's what the flesh does. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, watch this. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. In other words, we're ready to go at it. The flesh is.
Right.
Just mess with me and we'll go at it. That's the old man. That's the flesh.
Amen.
And understand, when somebody strikes us with words and harshness, the tendency, the knee-jerk reaction, the Adamic nature, the flesh that's not yielded to the Spirit of God under his control will strike back
with
harsh words and sharpness and aggressive words. That's what we do. You speak roughly because they heard us. You know, I got to thinking, wasn't that the type of language that King Rehoboam used when he became king?
Right.
Now, different circumstance, but the point is this. He chose to use rough words.
Right.
Do you remember when he became king and he was thinking about how, you know the story, how should I rule? I mean, should I be like my father, King Solomon, or should I be tougher than him? Well, let's ask a few people. And so, you know, they asked the older men, and of course they said, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Notice what he says. You be a servant and be nice to them.
Right. Amen.
Talk nice. And they'll serve you forever.
Right.
But if you don't, they won't.
Right.
The young guy said, well, no. That's the old school stuff. You're the leader now. You're the guy in charge. You're the man on the throne. Here's what you say. You tell him rough things. Here's what he said. Look, 1 Kings 12. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him and spake them after the counsel of the young men, saying, here it is. My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Well, that was smart. That was good. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words.
Amen. Right.
Stir up anger. What did they say? I don't think so. I don't think so. No. The house of David, go ahead. See you later. Israel, to your tents. We're going our way. The kingdom split. Why is that? Rough words. Stir up anger. That's what he's trying to say here. And by the way, this is the world's way of dealing with things. And many people, even Christians, sometimes choose that route. Well, I want to get it done. I want to make them listen. I'm gonna use rough words. That's what I'm going to do. By the way, preachers can do that. It's not a good thing to do.
Right.
It's not a right thing to do. Because you're just going to make everybody mad when you do that. So that's the world's way of responding. Then there's letter B, the wise way of responding. So how are we to do it? Well, you know, again, I told you this is simple tonight. Sorry, but a soft answer turneth away wrath. Notice there it is. It's a soft answer. Can I remind us tonight that our Lord was very clear that his people, those of us that claim him as our Savior,
Amen.
He said, blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
The peacemakers.
Right.
Not just the peacekeepers,
right.
The peacemakers. And he admonishes us to seek and desire peace,
right.
Not war. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life, I want to love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. What does that mean? That means pursue it. In other words, I am going to make peace in this situation. I'll just keep the peace. I'm going to make it. That's proactive. And by the way, one of the ways that you and I can make peace is by responding to another person's anger toward us with a soft answer. A soft answer.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean, a soft answer? Well, I think it needs to be kind of discussed because I'm going to show you why in a minute. But the word soft basically means this, calm, in control. Tender, peaceful. Can I put it this way? Under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, no, I'm not going to respond the way I want to respond. Hey, I'm dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, I am dead. It doesn't matter what I think.
Amen.
A dead man doesn't argue.
Right. Amen.
And when I'm dead, then guess what? I won't let that stuff bother me.
Praise the Lord.
Because I'm dead. One preacher, I forget who it was that I heard one time, said, imagine at a funeral and the body's in the casket and somebody walks up to it and starts saying things to it. You dirty, low down scoundrel, you. And he's not doing anything. Why? Because he's dead. That's the way we're supposed to be when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't come back with combative words. We don't come back with defensive words. We don't put ourselves in attack mode. We don't allow their anger to stir us up. That's a hard thing to do, by the way.
Right.
Lord, I die daily. I die daily. We simply respond calmly, softly, but firmly.
Amen.
So notice it's a soft answer, but there's a second element, not in our text, but I think important to mention, and that is this, a scriptural answer.
Amen.
And I say that for a reason. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Notice we are to give an answer. So here's what I'm trying to get at. Giving a soft answer does not mean that we acquiesce to whatever the angry person desires.
Right.
That's not what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, you're angry. Oh, yes, okay, I'll comply with whatever you say. That's not what a soft answer is saying here.
Right.
It's not that at all. We don't do whatever it takes to appease their anger. We're not talking about that tonight. We do not ever compromise our convictions and standards to make an angry person happy.
Right. Amen.
What this is talking about is not the what of our response. It's the how of our response. It is the way that we respond. It has to do with our tone. It has to do with our demeanor. It has to do with our body language. It has to do with our facial expressions. All of that ought to become peaceful, cool, and collected. You say, preacher, what planet are you living on? Are you serious? Nobody can do that. I can do all things through Christ,
Amen.
Which strengthens me. We can, right. If we are dead. We can if we are yielded. If you are here tonight and you're saved and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when that anger comes at you, you can, I can, all of us can respond with a soft answer. That's the Christ-like way to do it.
Right.
A soft answer. But it's going to take a decision. Oh, I know it's a split second. Just a moment to make that decision. But we have to do it.
Amen.
So we see number one, the situation. Number two, the decision. Number three, and we're done here, the conclusion. So notice what happens here. Very simple, and that's it. Notice the guy putting out the fire there, right? Your decision and my decision about how we respond to someone's anger coming at us will either turn away that wrath,
right.
Calm the situation down, settle it down so you can perhaps have a discussion, stifle it if we have that soft answer, or if not, if we turn around with grievous words, notice what it does. Excuse me. It stirs up anger. It throws fuel on the fire. It makes the situation worse. It complexes the situation, makes it more complex. It becomes more damaging, more toxic, and it's less likely to resolve if we choose to answer with, hey, those grievous words, get out of my face. We don't do that.
Amen.
See, the choice is to be a peacemaker. Not a peace breaker.
Right.
Couple verses and we're done. Proverbs 17, notice verse 14. Just a page over. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. You ever try to pour a big bucket, like a 5-gallon thing of water, and you're trying to pour it into something? I don't know if you ever did anything like that, maybe in a fish tank or something like that. You know, when it first starts, it starts real slow. But once you get that thing going, it's like, whoa, the thing just goes.
Right.
So notice that's kind of what it's saying here. It's talking about the beginning of strife is as when it starts slow. It's like when you let out water. But then if you don't stop it, again, you're gonna lose control of it. It becomes unstoppable. So the idea here is this, what I call Barney Fife theology. Nip it in the bud. Don't go back at somebody. See the strife coming at you and give that soft answer and you'll calm the situation. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Notice it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool will be meddling. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
The world thinks, You want to be a man, you got to beat a few people up, you know. Yeah, you got to be able to rumble with people, you know, and all that. And I'm all for defending ourselves when we need to. But this says that an honorable man, it's an honor for him to cease from strife.
Right.
It takes a bigger man to give a soft answer than it does to just blow right back on somebody. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing is to give that soft answer.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm amazed, and we're done right here. I am amazed how fast a situation can heat up. Oh, I could tell you a story, and you could tell me story after story, where somebody either bumped into somebody somewhere or crossed somebody somewhere, and this guy turns his shoulder, and he gets upset, and he gets upset. Next thing you know, they're fighting. Next thing you know, and I've never seen this, but we hear it in the news, somebody's stabbing somebody and shooting somebody. What happened? Well, he bumped into me. Are you serious? He lost his life because he brushed up against you? That's so foolish. And that's not the behavior of a Christian man.
Amen.
Swallow your pride.
Right.
Put away your ego.
Amen.
And when somebody comes after you, a soft answer will do the situation well.
Amen.
Hey, husbands, you want to have a home of harmony? Wife, don't be so sharp in the response to one another. Hey, brother and sister, do you want to have harmony in your home? Somebody comes at you, well, he did this to me, I did this to him, and he hit me, and she hit me, and we have 12 grandchildren, we get it. You know, boom, and boom, and boom, and boom, next thing you know, whatever's going on, you know. We're supposed to be adults, we're supposed to be Christians.
Amen.
And we could have a home of harmony, a church of harmony, if you and I would just practice this on a regular basis. When somebody comes after you, and they're a little out of joint, give them that soft answer. That is the wisdom from above. Amen.